14th chapter of John, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. We believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Amen. Heavenly Father, that your word would speak to our hearts this day, to draw us closer unto thyself, that we might know the love of God, and that we might rejoice in thy presence, that we might lift up your name, that we might exalt you, the true and the living God. Speak to us, Lord. In Christ Jesus, I pray. I'm having a little bit of difficulty this morning because those hymns move me. Those songs that we sang just move me. So you would forgive my tears and my runny nose now. But I trust that they moved you as well. I trust the word of God might move us even more so. That those hymns were written by people who were moved, I'm sure. And so they penned those words. And now they're moving me, and I trust they're moving you too. I didn't say good morning. I think last week I gave you a little bit of an admonition to look in the book of Proverbs a little bit more than perhaps you've done before. And we spoke in Proverbs about which way. And this morning I'd like to speak to you about which life. And I think that you perhaps would see those words in the passage of Scripture that we read. Jesus said, I am the way. I am truth. I am life. I think that's the position we need to come to, where we recognize the fact that truly He is the way. And we discussed maybe I just told you. But we spoke in Proverbs last week in respect to the way. Which way? We could see that there were two ways, perhaps even three. The way of the wise, the way of the fool, and perhaps the way of the simple man. And the way the simple man, of course, is he's sort of sitting on the fence and he can go either way. I sort of challenged myself and came up with a proverb. It goes something like this. It's not profound at all. The way we go is the life we live. The way we go is the life we live. And I sort of reason with myself to say, okay, whichever way I go, if it's the way of the Lord, which we talked about, living in the fear of the Lord, or if it's the other way, they still both make a difference in what our life is all about. For a life is that which we have at the moment. And it's the way we're living at the moment. And I think that we can show the way we're living by the way we walk, the way we talk, and the way we even think. I was speaking particularly to the young people. Somebody said afterwards, that's a good thing. I don't know, I wasn't sure whether the young people would stone me or what. But I'm speaking to them again. And like I said, those who are older people with young hearts can join in and open their ears. The thought, which life? We get to a point, I think, where sometimes we have to just raise our hands and scream. I think it's called riding the roller coaster. But life is like a roller coaster, I guess you might say, and it has its ups and downs and whatever. I was trying to picture that roller coaster grinding on up to the top, but you know, they take you up to the highest point that they can take, and then you go over the top. And usually that first run down is a pretty steep run. And that's where you start to get wound up. I think just looking over and seeing that it's going to go down. And then when it starts down, whoa. And then it goes around. And the newer roller coasters do a loop. And you get jerked over to this side. And then jerked over to that side. And then you go up another hill. And then you go down and around and back and forth until the ride is over. And when the ride's over, the young people are all going like, let's do it again. And the older people are going, enough is enough. Let me off. In fact, they were saying that before they even got to the end of the ride. Enough is enough. That's life. I think that's life. And the young people don't seem to have a good perspective of life yet. They're trying to gain that perspective in various ways, in their schooling and so on. But for the older ones, we seem to have a little greater perspective in that we've been through it. Those of us who are foolish enough to go on the roller coaster the second time, say to ourselves, I guess, well, no fool like an old fool. But anyway, so the roller coaster goes up and down, and life goes up and down, and around and back and forth. We get banged to this side and banged to that side. And pretty soon the ride's over. When we get to the end, it's like, oh, it didn't take that long at all. And in fact, it was a pretty short trip. Well, nevertheless, we've gone through life. The young people, well, they haven't gotten there yet, so they're just so to speak, gearing up for it. Well, we like to praise the youth because they have their youth. And perhaps we start getting down on ourselves because when that roller coaster comes to the end, in reality, it flattens out. There's no more ups and downs and rounds. It starts to flatten out, and then the brakes go on, and the thing comes to a grinding halt. Yeah, a grinding halt. We say, was it a good life? Was it a good life? I'd just like to speak for a few minutes, and I hope it's a few minutes. Somebody said last time I spoke a long time, I couldn't believe it. But I hope it's a few minutes. to say that this seemed like which life, like we said, which way, which life. There's more than one life, I guess. We can put it this way. And the way I thought of it is that there's abundant life. There's eternal life. Well, we want to deal with the abundant life because we don't know too much about the eternal life, except we know that it is. The abundant life can be a life of life, or it can be a life of death. How can life be death? Well, I think it's like that story in Luke chapter 16, I guess it is, about the beggar man and Lazarus. And Lazarus, perhaps we might say, didn't have the greatest life, but he lived. And the rich man, he seemed to have a great life, an abundant life, really. And he died. That's what the scripture said. I thought, okay, does it say something about abundant life in Proverbs? And I think it does. And maybe I can just get you to turn to Proverbs and just maybe check out a few spots. I wrote down a number of things which I thought perhaps could spell out the abundant life. In chapter 3 in verse 8, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 8, he says something like this: it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Abundant health. Health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What does that say particularly? It says that this flesh that we have, that we're wearing, it covers up our soul. This flesh that we have can be strong. And the bones that are in this structure also can be strong. And I think we realize that this is a necessity, just getting through this life. Some of us who are older now have these difficulties like arthritis and bone problems and whatever other problems we have. And we say to ourselves, well, I'd like to get rid of this old body. The young people are saying, hey, I'm looking good, and I could enjoy this body even more. Well, an abundant life, he says, enables us to have strength. To have strength. And I think that's a necessity. And we find that in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8. In verse 16 of the same chapter, we notice that he talks about length of days. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Length of days, that going to live a long time, perhaps, and gain, so to speak, earthly things. When I read through the Proverbs, I oftentimes think, is he necessarily talking about things that are tangible? Or is he talking about things that are intangible, that is, things that we, so to speak, look upon with faith? And then it comes to me sometimes, I wonder if he's talking about both. And that could very well be. At times he's talking about the physical. Sometimes he's talking about the spiritual. I think we saw a little bit of it about that last week when we spoke about the way. We saw how a man perhaps is going to deal with life such that he is either going to go the right way or the wrong way. And possibly then in going the wrong way, we see that that there's no abundant life. And I think while we're in this flesh, that's what we really want. It starts very early in our lives, and it just keeps growing and growing. We want this. We want this. Mommy, I want this. I want that. By the time we get to adulthood, if we haven't been, so to speak, let go, we decide that we're going to get what we want. We'll do it whatever way we can do it. And so people go astray. And they go astray early oft times. And I think you know from the news that we're hearing, it becomes a very disastrous thing. In fact, we're at the point perhaps where it seems like the whole world is coming crashing down on us now, because it's like the evil is overcoming the righteous. And I was thinking to myself as they were putting my fingerprints on the screen there this week. I was trying to get myself ready for trying to help you with the Vacation Bible School. They put my fingerprints on there. I thought to myself, why am I getting fingerprinted? I didn't do anything wrong. Not a thing wrong, I don't think. And they're taking my fingerprints. But these guys out there on the street who are creating havoc, they don't have their fingerprints. Well, I was glad the police officer said after, well, they go to the RCMP and they check it out, and if you're okay, they destroy your fingerprints. I thought, Right. In verse 33 of chapter 3 there, he says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But the blessing, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Abundant life is a life of blessing. A life of blessing. We can go on down to Proverbs and then I just listed a few here. Maybe a little more than a few. But I won't take up too much time. In 4 and 9, he talks about reward. In 4 and 12, he talks about no wandering steps, no stumbling. In 11 and 20, and 10 and 22, he talks about no sorrow. He talks about a fruitful mouth, a fat soul. In Proverbs 13 and 4, a fat soul, a fat soul. Now, he doesn't say that exactly, but he says, well, better look at 13 and 4. He says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. I said, fat soul. That's what I said. Fat soul. Well, what does that mean? Well, those who cook, and cook roasts particularly, like to cook the roast with fat on it because it enriches the meat, so to speak. It makes it taste good. I always thought to myself, and maybe I'm a little bit off track here, but when the Lord often asked the children of Israel to offer up sacrifice, he said, and thus and thus goes to the priests and so on and in the sacrifice. But I get the fat. And I thought to myself, I may be out to lunch, but the Lord gets the good thing, the fat. He also talks about in 13 and 25 about a satisfied soul. And he goes on and on. He's talking about abundant life. There's something called abundant life. And that's what God wants us to have. The wisdom that he talked about, the knowledge, the understanding that we are to get in the fear of the Lord brings forth to us an abundant life. And that's what we need in this day and age. An abundant life, a life that speaks for the Lord Jesus Christ. A life that says to our neighbors and to our friends and those we work with and so on, that I live in an abundant life. A life that's filled up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there is an abundant death. It's so to speak the opposite. Where you don't have abundant life, you have abundant death. And so I was speaking, so I mentioned there in Luke, speaking about the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus, perhaps you might say, didn't have the abundant life. He had the sorrows and problems, but he still had a life that spoke of Christ. And sometimes it causes us to wonder, well, is it possible to have an abundant life? Oh, yes. Just being Christ is an abundant life. And the rich man, he had all the so to speak, the trimmings of life. He had all the good things because he had lots. Money, wealth, fame, power, storehouses of this, that, whatever, perhaps. He had an abundant life, supposedly. But he didn't really have an abundant life. He had abundant death. Because when he died, it was all gone. And this is why I'm speaking somewhat physically and somewhat spiritually, because sometimes the Proverbs emphasize that physical and sometimes the spiritual. So the rich man, he had the physical things. Lazarus had the spiritual things. And the abundant life to us is not necessarily the physical things, although they are good, and although the Lord provides for us time and time again. But it is the spiritual that he really wants to give to us. And that's why he talks wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, the fear of the Lord. This gives us an abundant life that's spiritual. And when we have that is that we are in Christ, when the abundant physical life is finished, we move on into eternal life. That's when it really gets good. We sometimes think it's good now. Some of us have abundance. And we think it's good. And I think I would agree with you. It is good. But it's with a purpose God gives us an abundant life. It's not for ourselves. It's for Christ. It's for others. So the abundant life that we have now will pass away. Then we will enter into eternal life. And the eternal life is going to be really abundant. From Lazarus' situation, we know that he went to be in Abraham's bosom. That was a place of rest, for one thing. That was a place of comfort. And he enjoyed those things. We know from the story that the rich man says he died and he experienced a place of torment and burning. And he's crying out for just a drop of water. Something physical. It's too late. Physical's over. The spiritual has begun. It's the abundant life for Lazarus, but it's abundant death for the rich man. And that's why the writer of the book, Proverbs, is probably saying, what you need to do, my son, is to get the spiritual. That abundant life in Christ comes to mind, those words, study to show thyself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. The book of Psalms. It is that abundant life that we have now is over very quickly. But the eternal life that's coming up goes on forever. goes on forever. In Exodus chapter 32, 34. Give me a moment. Exodus chapter 34. In verse 6, he says, the Lord passed by. I think you can recall this. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and mercy. Abundant in goodness and mercy. That's what he gives to us in this abundant life. If we go over to Deuteronomy chapter 33, in verse 27, he says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall destroy. The eternal God. When we come into the understanding that God or Christ is our Savior, we have the understanding that God has my life, and He's guiding me, and He's directing me. He points out that this God that has my life is an eternal God. So if it's the eternal God who has my life, I'm going to have eternal life too. What's God's mine? What belongs to Christ is mine. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we come to God in Christ, and He says, you're mine. And I am the eternal one. You too then have eternal life. Now, over in Romans chapter 2 verse 7, I think it is, we can see that likewise. Romans chapter 2, verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Oh, that's good. Them who by patient continuance in well-doing, in that abundant life, there's eternal life for us. What's the thing, perhaps, that keeps us from the abundant life and perhaps from the eternal life then? I think it's when we look at, remember that roller coaster, and it's up and down and around and all over the place, it's like fear. Especially when you go over the first one and you see him down there, and it looks a long way down. Sort of fear grips you. Or when you do that loop, and you're in like a state of suspended animation, it's fear. Where did fear start? Well, it started way back in the garden. Way back in the garden. Scripture says that Adam hid himself. Well, why did he hide himself? Because I was afraid. How come it is that you were afraid? Well, then the excuses. But it is this fear that has been produced by the evil one and continues to hold on to us even now that causes us not to have the abundant life. And in reality, it will keep us from eternal life as well. Fear. Fear. And the evil one just keeps moving in on us. When we think things are going well, when we think that everything is great, and we're just gaining a few things of this abundant life, perhaps, some reason for fear comes over us. We're going down that roller coaster so that we can see what's coming. In our lives, generally speaking, we don't see what's coming. And when we don't see what's coming, what do we have to do? We have to walk by faith. This life, then, that we have has to be a life of faith. That's when it will be abundant. Because we're not relying on ourselves anymore. And whether it's good things or evil things in Job's case, whether it's good things or evil things, God's still in control. We've given it over to Him, and He's in control, and He will have His way. Proverbs points that out quite often. In fact, if we turn to Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 29. In verse 25, he says, The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Trusting in the Lord is part of the abundant life. Because in the abundant death, there's no longer time to trust the Lord. It's all over. It's all over. Then it becomes a matter of eternal life. Is it eternal life, though, or is it eternal death? If we run down to Revelation chapter 19, we'll see that those who haven't taken on that eternal or that abundant life are now going to experience not eternal life, but eternal death. So which way? We spoke about. Today we spoke about, and we spoke about which life. Which life is it that you want? Which life is it that I want? Is it abundant life? To end in eternal life? Or is it abundant death? To end in eternal death. We have the choice. We, you, I have the choice. We can say, I'll go with what I can get now. Or we can say, no, I understand what Dad said. He said, listen, The fear of the Lord is what you need to look into. The fear of the Lord. Don't get out there like that guy who says, I don't fear anything. You see on the backs of trucks sometimes, in the back windows, or maybe in cars, a sign that says, no fear. I oftentimes think to myself, I really like to talk to that guy. What do you mean, no fear? I keep envisioning myself as hearing him say, I don't fear anything. I envision myself saying to him, You better fear something. When we have no fear, in reality, we have taken on what Lamech said, hey, I killed a man because he wounded me. So what's the Lord going to do? Cain said, I've killed a man. He didn't do anything to me. I just killed him. And the Lord has laid on me all this problem. What am I going to do? God says, come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll rest you. He says, Cain, why be foolish? Just do what you're supposed to do. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The disciples there were troubled in the passage of scripture that we read in John there. The disciples were troubled. And the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In reality, he's saying, I can take care of the situation. I can take care of your situation. Can take care of anybody's situation. Don't let your heart be troubled. It's the fear of the Lord, not no fear. I think when we accumulate things and come to, so to speak, wealth, the Proverbs say that that's when we're likely to say, no God. Why? I've got it all. No God. I don't have to worry about God. I have it all. God says, no, 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 no. Tonight, your soul will be required of you. So, it is a case of, we want that abundant life. Life in Christ. That will bring it to eternal life. And it's only a matter of what Christ said to his disciple, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the life. No man's coming unto the Father but by me. If you feel that you want that abundant life, that eternal life, you need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, one who says, I am life. Take a hold of me. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Again, I say, move us. Understand our necessity of yielding up ourselves and trusting wholly in thee. That you might have your way in our hearts and in our lives. that we might be vessels of praise unto thy name, to be poured out, filled and poured out in this darkened world that is all around us and is closing in on us more and more each day. Gracious Lord, oh, that you might be exalted, that you may be lifted up, that your name may be praised. We would give you the glory, the praise, thanksgiving through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.